Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. It is another edition of Morning Drive, and we're sort of doing this sports week thing where we had Dasheen Moore on yesterday talking about Beat the Streets, talking about basketball as we roll through March Madness. And also tonight is the kickoff of the Major League Baseball season on Netflix. And we're going to roll over to the baseball and softball side. And our guest today for the first part of the program is Steve Alger from Pittsfield Girls Softball. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Pull that down a little bit because I don't need to. I'd like to actually see you rather than the computer screen. So tell us what's going on with Pittsfield girls basketball. I assume registration's underway. We're getting ready for another season.
We are. We're very excited about this season in particular. We've expanded our field in that we're reaching out to the teams in South County and North County, and so we're looking forward to a robust season this year.
As far as playing teams from those areas, or sort of combining everybody?
Well, at this point, we're going to play them, and we're going to see how that goes. But, you know, everybody's facing the same dilemma, and that is shrinking number of kids playing sports. And so, you know, we can either play ourselves and literally, you know, me versus you, you versus me, day after day. Mm-hmm. Or we can reach out and we can expand who we play. And we've been trying to make it work for a couple of years, and it looks like it's finally going to happen.
Why do you think the numbers are shrinking the way they have? I mean, obviously we're seeing the population decline in the Berkshires a little bit. Is that a big reason, or is there another big reason to seeing the down?
I'm sure that's part of it, but I think it's just there's more sports. Mm-hmm. Soccer has become very popular. Lacrosse is out there for girls now. And, you know, there's just so many to choose from. Plus, I think it's a shrinking field of kids who actually want to go out and play sports. You know, and unfortunately, I think screen time is a big culprit. You know, I'm just going to sit here on the couch instead of going out and doing something, you know, active.
Interesting. People who are listening that may have the screen time thing going on or a variety of other things that they're interested potentially in playing softball, how do they register? Or where do they go?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is go to our website, PittsfieldGirlsSoftball.com. It can't get any simpler than that. Our Facebook page is up. If you'd rather do it that way, you can reach us that way. Plus, we're out in the community. I think tonight we're at last night we were at Herberg Open House, and we're actually going to be at the City Easter Egg Hunt on the 4th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're out and about and trying to get as visible as possible and make it as easy as possible for anybody who wants to join.
How old do you have to be to start playing softball?
You know, our age groups go 6 to 18. But if you've got an active five-year-old who wants to get out in the field, we're not going to kick them out. You know, our whole goal is anybody who wants to get out in the field, get them out there. You know, and if that means that, you know, we have a team that, you know, has a lot of first year versus second year versus. So we're going to have every different level available. So if they're interested, my advice is to get them out there and let's try it.
And how much does it cost to be a part of?
Unfortunately, like everything else, you know, our costs keep rising.
Of course.
You know, we're up to $100 this year, but if you get it in before the end of the week, I think it's only $85. So there's the early bird special until the end of the week. But that shouldn't prohibit anybody from playing. We have scholarships available. If money's an issue, don't let that dissuade you from having your kid play. We have equipment available. You know, people are very generous with their donations. Kids outgrow stuff. They don't know what to do with it. They give it to the league. We've got bats. We've got gloves. We've got cleats. We've got almost anything that the kids could need. So, you know, money should not be an issue.
And the $100 or the $85 by the end of the week, what does that get you?
Uniforms and playing time with a coach who's going to be instructive. We've got a great slate of coaches. You know, a lot of them have years and years of experience. You know, a lot of the names out there, you know, like Brian McDonald, who's been around forever, you know, and all the way down to girls who have played and now are old enough to start coaching and want to start giving back to the league.
Interesting. So $85, that's basically everything. Like, that gets you the whole season and...
That's it, you know, and that's the other thing is that we do fundraising on mm-hmm. the side as a league. So we try not to put too much burden on the parents. You know, it's hard enough to get your kid to actually show up, you know. And this year we're going to have a little bit more travel involved because we're going to be traveling down to South County. So we don't want to put any other financial barriers in their way.
I mean, that's – how many games do you guys play?
Well, last year it was about 12, 14 games each. This year we expect to be in excess of 20 each because of the expanded teams.
Oh, wow. So you get 20 games, you get the uniform, you get the coaching, and only $85. I mean –
yeah,
that's a pretty good deal, if you ask me.
Yeah, and especially for anybody who's been active in sports, they know how that compares to the other sports out there. You know, my kid plays softball down in Lenox. It costs, you know, $50 just to have her show up, you know. And so, you know, $85 for an entire season and we do everything else. It's not that bad.
No, and so you have the regular season. We're talking about the regular season now, but there's also the travel team still?
Yeah, Force is still very much active, mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I'm glad you brought that up, because what we found in our outreach to the city is that a lot of people don't make that association between Force and Pittsfield girls softball. They are a division of Pittsfield girls softball. All of their girls play in our league. And, you know, our league is the source of all their girls who play for them. Travel softball is a whole different animal. You know, that, as anybody who's been involved knows, it exactly what the name implies. You're out there, you're traveling on the weekend. For anybody who is interested in getting more in-depth, they feel they have some talent and they want to pursue it, that's a great way to do it. You know, and we have, you know, 10, 12s, hopefully a 14 and a 16U team this year. And, again, great coaches and doing a lot of tournaments. They did most of them did tournaments in the winter in the domes over in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, driving all the way down to almost as far as Boston and down into Connecticut. So they really do get out there. Most of them are fairly local, within an hour or two drive. But, you know, for instance, the 16Us are going to be going down to the Nationals this year down in Ocean City, Maryland. So, you know, there's going to be some real travel.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, Ocean City, Maryland, that's a cool place anyway.
That's right.
Like, do you qualify for that, or?
This particular tournament is not a qualifier.
Okay.
But in the past, you know, these same teams have come up through the Babe Ruth regionals and qualified to go to the World Series. And that's a different creature. Nationals is just a huge, as the name implies, national tournament. Where you get teams from all around the country, as opposed to, you know, the Babe Ruth regionals, where you're playing against other Babe Ruth teams and you have to earn your way down mm-hmm. as this team did a couple of years ago when they were down in Florida.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a great time. Last week of August to be down in Florida was absolutely wonderful.
Sounds like the last week of March is a better time to be down in Florida.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just an experience like going to Nationals, I mean, Ocean City's awesome. But to meet all kinds of people from all across the country, you know, that have the same interest in softball that you have has to be an unbelievable experience for the kids.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the best things about this is they meet other girls from other areas and you know, they really get to expand their horizons, you know, and a lot of them form lifelong friendships with these girls. And, you know, just the experience of being out of Pittsfield, being out and traveling and seeing other parts of the country and then meeting girls from all around the country. So it's a great experience for all of them.
And in this day and age, you know, it's a lot easier to keep in touch with those people was, you know, back when we were growing up.
Yeah. Everybody's got everybody's snap now. So
when does the season start? Ideally, I mean, you're still waiting for it to crack 60 degrees on a consistent basis out there. But do they start with practices?
Yeah. Well, the right now we're in the middle of registration. We've got tryouts scheduled for April 11th. Hopefully, we're going to be outdoors. If not, we'll be at the infield down on Lyman Street. And opening day is scheduled for May 9th. So, you know, it's coming in a big hurry.
It really does, right? It just, you know, it's 40 degrees out, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's spring. It's great.
Well, it seems like we were just sitting around, you know, thinking that we had all this time to do stuff, and suddenly, you know, we need to get moving on this stuff.
It's going to be cool to have places like the infields and, you know, other places indoors where you have an option to do tryouts, to do practices.
I tell you, Mike Masery runs a great operation down there, and he's really good with the kids. So anybody who's interested and maybe needs some extra help, he runs clinics, he does private lessons, and he's a great guy on top of it. So, you know, in on top of hosting our teams when we're down there, our travel teams train with him all winter long. You know, he's also offering his facilities for us to use as a tryout if we need to go indoors.
And you just never know in New England in this time of year, when it's particularly in the Berkshires. So the travel team, I mean, you're talking about year-round training, the trips. I would imagine that's a little more than the $85.
Yeah, a little bit more, yes. you know, but again, never let money stand in the way. If you have a real interest and some talent and you want to pursue this, the travel teams also have access to some scholarship money as well. You know, my advice is always give it a try, see if you like it. That's the first step. Mm-hmm. And then we'll find a way to make it work. That's the bottom line, is that I don't remember anybody who's ever been turned away because of their ability to pay.
So you do offer financial assistance and things like that. I mean, what does the fundraising look like even when you have people paying in, it's still super expensive. How do you fundraise for the
travel teams? Fundraising is one of the biggest challenges, especially when we're doing a big tournament like Ocean City. But spaghetti dinners, it's car washes, it's football squares, it's, you know, music bingo is become a big one, as you know.
Yes, I've been there.
But the goal is to take as much of the burden off the parents as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still a tuition involved and, you know, fees that come with that. But not nearly on a percentage basis, you know, the fundraising probably covers 80% of the actual costs.
Which is really good, because there's so many expenses that you don't even think about, you know, as an outsider wouldn't think about, that you're responsible for. Dasheen Moore said his Beat the Streets program pays out like $13,000 to referees. And of course, you have to have umpires and things like that. And that costs money. And, you know.
Yeah, we have a great slate of umpires, run by Joe Schneider is our umpire in charge. It's scheduling them, and paying them for every game. And of course, the older girls require two umpires per game. So, yeah, there's a lot of that that goes into it. Plus, you know, things balls. Balls have become incredibly expensive. You know, and we're lucky we're supported by a small grant that we get from Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, as well as a lot of donations from, you know, other companies that are just become indispensable to running the league and especially to running the travel teams.
Yeah, I didn't even think like balls would be remarkably expensive, but they are getting up there.
Yes, yes. About $100 a dozen at this point.
Crazy.
Yeah. And you use them during a game. You can't
you
use them again.
You
turn them over into practice balls. But still, every game is going to have a minimum of two balls. And, you know, it adds up.
Oh, man, I'm sure it does. We're talking with Steve Alger from Pittsfield Girls Softball, and it is a Wednesday morning here on WTBR. Just a little reminder, where do people go to sign up if they're thinking about registering?
Website is the best way to do it,
mm-hmm.
PittsfieldGirlsSoftball.com. We're also on Facebook, and we're out in the community at school open houses, at the Easter egg hunt, and It's hard not to find us.
Gotcha. So, you know, getting ready for the upcoming season, opening day on May 9th, practices begin April 11th of the tryouts, yes?
Yes.
Where would it be if it was outdoors?
If it's outdoors, it'll be at Doyle, and if it's indoors, it'll be at the infield.
Okay, so that's all going to depend on the stupid weather here in the Berkshires. You just never know. Pittsfield girls softball. .org for registration.
.com.
I said .org, didn't I?
You
.com.
Did.
Yeah, that'd be a big difference right there. So, yeah, PittsfieldGirlsSoftball.com for more details on that. And combining things this year, you're going to South County and North County,
yeah,
it looks
so
like?
We've reached out to the group down in Lee, the Wildcat mm-hmm. sports group down there. And they were very receptive, and they in turn reached out to the Great Barrington, the Sheffield, Canaan, and I'm sure there's one other one that I'm forgetting. But they all have been receptive up to this point. It's when we start making a schedule is where the rubber meets the road, but we are all in agreement in at least in principle.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine the scheduling is hard to do as well, particularly when you're adding so many organizations.
Yeah. I almost forgot. Dalton is also joining us this year, and they've had their own separate program for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been nice enough to offer to schedule for the entire county. So that's going to be something that's a nice thing to get off our plate.
Oh, wow. So Dalton's going to handle all the scheduling for everybody.
Yeah. Well, they feel that their field is the hardest to schedule for the entire county. Therefore, they're going to take the burden on for the rest of the county.
Oh, okay. So that makes a lot of sense because I know their field gets a lot of use in the summer. I played in that softball league up
That's
there
right.
a few years.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they've got the one field, and they have to share it with the high school, and they've got varsity, they've mm-hmm. got JV, they've got a new travel program. So, you know, there's certain there's some logic behind what they're saying.
Yeah, makes all the sense in the world
yep.
when they got a program like that up there. And they're going to play about 20 games. Is that at all levels, you know, from the six-year-olds all the way through? Or?
Yeah, well, and that's the other challenge is that the way that the other organizations group is by grades.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have a junior and a senior division as opposed to, you know, 6, 8s, 10s, 12s like we do. So we're going to be combining some teams. We're going to be, you know, trying new things. And that's why, you know, this year is going to be a huge experiment. Hopefully we can make it work and it's successful and everybody's happy at the end of the year and we can continue to do this.
So, I mean, it almost makes sense in a sense that the younger ones, maybe are they going to be traveling as much as well or maybe it makes more sense for them to be local or who knows?
Well, and that's the other thing is that, you know, we have also the Adams group. You know, when an Adams team is playing a Canaan New York team, it makes no sense for them, either of them, to go full direction. So we have offered our field as kind of the midway point.
Okay.
So Doyle's going to be seeing a lot more in that it becomes the midway point where teams from north and south can come and play, and neither one of them has to drive an hour to get there.
Yeah, and you've got how many fields do you have at Doyle?
We have five fields.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Four of them are game ready. The fifth one is kind of a practice field, but we can make it game ready if we need to. And, you know, if that's the biggest challenge we have, then that's a good challenge to have.
Absolutely. We're here with Steve Alger, Pittsfield Girls Softball. PittsfieldGirlsSoftball.com. Again, PittsfieldGirlsSoftball.com to register. And is there a deadline for registration?
Well, tryouts are the 11th. We like to have the games. But we've always got stragglers, you know. So, you know, if it gets to the 12th and you say, oh, my God, I didn't know, call us, reach out to us. We'll make it happen.
And you have the tryouts. How does the team picking process work?
So we get our coaches out there, and they evaluate each player. And in this way, you don't have one team that has all of the experienced kids and the other ones get all the new kids. You know, it gets spread out evenly. And this is the first year that because we have more teams, we don't have to put in our travel teams as a team. So those girls would be spread out among the rest of the teams as well. Whereas, you know, last year, for instance, in our 10U division, we had two teams, one from Adams, one from Pittsfield. So if we didn't use the force 10U, then they'd simply be playing each other. So at least that gives them a third option, you know. So this week you play these two teams. Next week you play the other two, you know. So this year we're going to do it differently. We're going to disperse those girls. And because that was some of the feedback that we got from the other teams. We don't have travel programs. We don't want to play against your travel girls.
Right. I mean, there's nothing more discouraging than having a team that you know is just going to beat the bag off you every week, every time you see them.
Right. And you know, we've certainly been on the receiving end of that at times, too. So we know what that's like, and that's why we're very sympathetic to it. We're committed to doing whatever it takes to make this partnership work. And so if that means that our travel girls don't get to play together, that's okay, because they're going to meet new girls. They're going to, you know, make new friends. And, you know, that's always a good thing.
Right. And then they'll all be back together for travel team later on in the year, right?
Yeah. Or later in the week.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense to do it that way this year. And there's a lot of, you know, it's a great idea to sort of make this a countywide thing.
Yeah, like I said, it's something we've been pursuing for several years. And, you know, it was just, because of the connection with Mike Masry in the infield, we happened to be there at the same time the Lee group was there. And we get to talking, and they're like, yeah, well, we think that's a great idea. And, you know, next thing you know, we made the connections that made it happen.
Yeah, I just remember growing up, our little league, we had like eight teams, and just in our league,
sure.
You know, and then whoever won amongst those eight teams would go on to the city series against three other leagues. So, but it's not that way anymore.
It's not, and I'm sure the little league people will tell you the same story, is that the numbers have shrunk considerably to the point where I think they have two teams now.
You know, oh, wow.
Yeah. I could be mistaken on the numbers, but, you know, that was it used to be east, west, north, south, and then it was just east, west. And then now I think it's just the league.
Oh, it's sad to think about, you know, and I think you're right. The screen time and a variety of other things, you know, sort of feed into that.
Sure. And you know, and some of it is that, you know, parents become more protective of their kids. They don't want them doing active things as much, you know, and that's a shame, because, you know, we take safety very seriously.
Of course.
You know, obviously, you know, people are going to get hit by pitches, or, you know, the batted ball is, you know, but we do everything we can to protect those kids. They're all wearing helmets. They've got, you know, protective gear, and they're trained in how to do things the right way, the safe way. So, you know, hopefully parents can see that and they're willing to bring their kids out and come out and watch a game. That's my best advice. And you see, the girls have such a great time, you know, that it doesn't, to them, it doesn't even matter who wins or loses. You know, they're out there to play ball and they're having fun doing it.
And you could tell by some of the pictures that get posted on the Facebook page, just how close all these girls are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, between TikTok, Instagram, and, you know, it's always filled with these girls having such a great time off the field as well as on the field, but they just go out, they have a good time, they play some ball, they get out in some fresh air, get some activity, you know, and I think all in all, it's a great experience for the girls.
And it gives them something to look forward to each day, too, especially over the summer when, you know, there's not much going on.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Get them out of the house, mm-hmm. Makes them put down the screens and, you know, at least for a couple hours a day, they're out there and doing something active. And I think that's always a good thing.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on, whether it's here or in the locker room or wherever. So we appreciate you taking time coming on down and talking about Pittsfield girls softball. I hope you have a super successful season this year.
Thank you. And thanks for having us.
Steve Alger from Pittsfield girls softball. On the other side of the break, we'll be talking with Ben Noth, Pittsfield Little League, and that's coming up in just a little bit here on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR.
For more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
BRTA offers training to any person or group new to using the bus system or the process. We have a certified travel trainer that will make the process easier. Our travel trainer will ride the bus with you until you are more comfortable with how everything works. They can teach you about fares, how to read the schedules, how to get on or off the bus, and pedestrian safety. If you are interested in this service, please email traveltraining@berkshirerta.com.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBR-FM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at BerkshireCC and from the Mahawi Theater in Great Barrington. Presenting 90s rock band Better Than Ezra this Friday night at 7:30 p.m. with opening act 9 days. Get your tickets at mahawi.org. Again, that's mahawi.org.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Wednesday morning. Thank you for tuning in. Bob Heck here with you. And just want to give you another reminder, PSA Days is coming up. If you have a nonprofit organization here in the Berkshires and you want to be a part of PSA Days, where you just roll on in, you give us your script and all that stuff. We have it up on the teleprompter for you. You're in and out here in an hour with a video PSA and an audio PSA. And, you know, you can use the video PSA wherever you want. We'll run the audio PSA here on WTBR. We'll also run the video PSA on the channels. But, I mean, you could use this video PSA for fundraising events or on your YouTube or on your social media channels. So a really cool event, and we'd love you to be part of it. So reach out to us, PSADays@PittsfieldTV.org. Again, PSADays@PittsfieldTV.org. That's how you get in touch with us to get scheduled for that. And that is coming up April 9th, 10th, and 11th. So time's running out to get involved with that. And we have Ben Noth. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did, yes.
All right. From Pittsfield Little League, as we roll through Sports Week here on WTBR with Major League Baseball kicking off. We're in the middle of March Madness and all that fun stuff. So talk to me about Pittsfield Little League. What does this season look like?
So we're entering our 76th season here.
Wow.
So we just had our 75th last year. We got tryouts coming out April 11th for our Major League program there. So there's still time to register at PittsfieldLL.com. So that's for ages 7 to 12. Pittsfield residents, or if you go to a Pittsfield school, you can come and register for us, play with us.
So if you choice in from somewhere else and you go to a Pittsfield school, you can play Pittsfield Little League?
If you go to a Pittsfield school, you can play Pittsfield Little League, yep.
Okay, and how do people go about getting registered?
So if you just go right on our website, PittsfieldLL.com, you can go sign up through there. If there's need for financial assistance, you can email us at PittsfieldLittleLeagueAAA, that's three A's, at gmail.com.
And how much does it cost to register?
So $100 to register.
That's not bad. And how many games you get out of that?
So we looked to have a 14-game schedule. That's a regular season schedule, and then playoffs outside of that. That's includes 12 games within our interleague or within our Pittsfield division. We actually play two games with some of the other local little leagues in the county.
That's interesting. Yeah. So how many teams does Pittsfield Little League have or hope to have?
So Pittsfield Little League in our majors division, we have 7 teams.
Okay.
And in our minors division, we'll have anywhere between 4 to 5 teams with about 12 kids on a roster.
Okay. So have you seen the numbers? Steve was talking about how numbers have been declining in softball and in sports across the board. Have you been subject to that as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, numbers have been declining over the years. I mean, when I first started taking on this role a few years ago, we were up to 12 teams in total. And, you know, now we're down to 7. We've spent last year with 11 players on a roster. That's going to be the plan again this year, unless for some reason more numbers show up. We've been made a real concerted effort trying to keep the kids where their skill levels are and try not to force them to play, you know, the 9-year-old to play against the 12-year-old.
Right.
Might not be ready for that. So, you know, we've been really making a concerted effort to make the kids most comfortable in their playing setting.
So tryouts are coming out on the 11th, and then how are the teams formed from there?
So the 11th and 12th will have tryouts for those players ages 9 to 12 that are not currently on major rosters. And then we have a draft, you know, after some evaluations to say what kids might be ready. We have a draft that following Tuesday. And then our players that would be in our minor league system will try out or have evaluations that follow weekend on April 18th.
Okay, so you have players in the majors that have already played with their team, so they stay on their team.
Correct. So once you get drafted on your team, you can be there if you make it as a 9-year-old from 9 to 12.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those great things, the continuousness of Little League Baseball, so you get the bond for 4 years with a team. So.
Oh, that's awesome. And then you have the minors where it's the kids that, the younger kids, the kids younger, aren't quite ready yet.
And yeah, so the kids that are mainly your 7th and 8-year-olds, and then any of those 9-year-olds that might not be quite ready for that major league experience and trying to get them into more that developmental, speed, you know, so that you're not facing those 12-year-olds.
Right, because there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, you not being at that skill level and just getting wiped out every game.
Yeah, or that fear of getting a baseball to the back. Right?
Well, yeah, we've all lived that.
Yeah, we've all had that one, right?
and where do you guys play games?
So we play games at Deming Park, Clapp Park, and Ballinger Field. Is where we'll have most of our games. When we do interleague games, again, we'll play anywhere. Dalton, Adams, Lanesboro this year, and Great Barrington.
Okay, so you're all over, too, for at least a couple of games.
For at least a couple of games, yeah. We'll probably do some home games with those other towns, and we'll send some folks away for as the schedule fits. I mean, it's a tough schedule, short season. You start basically the 1st of May, and you got to be done by the middle of June. So you got to try to cram 14 games into a month and a half. So it's tight.
That is tight, especially with the lovely spring weather we get around here.
Yeah. It definitely mud season throws a monkey wrench into things.
And then from there, you go into the playoffs, and then there's All-Stars beyond that?
Yeah, so we'll have our playoffs with our seven teams. That'll finish up just right around when school ends this year, since school's ending so late. And then we'll go right into All-Stars, which will be our 9, 10-year-old teams, our 11-year-old team, and our 12-year-old team. And we've had some great success with those folks over the last few years, some state championships. So it's been a good run of talent there.
Yeah, no, it seems like every year you have a team that's either going to a state championship, and then a couple of years ago you had someone that went beyond that, right?
Yeah, a few years ago, it's been a – predates me, but yeah, we had folks right down in Connecticut, in Bristol, right on ESPN playing there.
Oh yeah, so, I do remember that. So yeah, that was
predates
ago.
Me, but and our most recent success was our 9 and 10 year old team. I think it was 5 years ago at this point, winning the state tournament there. So some great success. Our 12-year-old tournament two years ago, we were in the state finals. So we had a lot of dedicated coaches and players in those groups, and it's been it's a great fun run.
Yeah, and that time of year, it puts a strain on everybody. The kids, they just want to play; they love to play. But
it's a lot on the parents.
Absolutely. you win this game, and then the next 4 days are just crazy going on to the next thing.
Yeah, once you get out of the districts and you go to sectionals, you could be playing, down in Holden on a Wednesday afternoon, and then the next day at Thursday you're in Westfield. So it can be a lot of travel on the parents trying to figure out how do we get down to basically Worcester for a 5:30 game. When you got to be there a couple hours early, get the kids acclimated and all that stuff. So it's a lot, but the kids love it. The parents learn to love it.
I remember going on, and when I was a kid, it was the best thing ever, and I'm sure my parents love it as much.
Yeah, my kids are going through it now. They've been through it. My oldest is through it. My youngest is still in it, and he loves it because it's the fun car rides. It's the hanging out with the boys. It's a
great bonding experience. Yeah. Making those long trips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk to me about the gear swap you have going on. How does that work?
So we have a gear swap. So we've been doing this the last couple years. If you have any used gear that you want to donate, and if you need stuff, you go through baseball pants, cleats, bats, balls, like gloves, whatever it is. It's expensive to fit a kid out for baseball at times. Yeah. So if this helps folks, do that, especially if it's a kid that doesn't necessarily know if that's what they want to play. There's nothing worse than buying a glove, break it in, and then there's $100 that you just spent that you didn't need to. Pants, the kids blow through them like crazy, as far as growing at that age. So if you need pants, you need anything, we'll if you're looking to get rid of it or if you're looking to get it, we'll have that donation process going on. I believe it's the 11th or 12th.
And where are the tryouts being held?
Tryouts are going to be at Rip City, just here on Hubbard Ave, mm-hmm. And that for our majors program, and then at the infield on Lyman Street for the minor leagues. Those two facilities have been great to us the past few years, especially with the weather. It's tough to get outside. It's a much nicer experience for the kids. They're nervous already, so to not have to be nervous and freezing is an added benefit. those two facilities, those two have been great to partners with us for past few years.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that growing up. I didn't have indoor facilities.
Yeah, you just had to deal with the cold, right?
Yeah, you were nervous and freezing.
Yeah,
you're
just blowing the hands and hope for the best. No batting gloves or anything, right?
And then you get one of those those little stingers off the end of the bat. It's 28 degrees out.
Yeah, your dad's yelling you, don't cry, it'll show weakness.
Walk it off.
Yeah, walk it off. But it stings. You're 9 years old trying to do your best here, and you get that stinger.
And it's nice in a sense, too, because cleats, You play a 14-game season. It's not like they're playing 162 games blowing through these cleats. You're playing 14 games and some practices, and you know these are still relatively new cleats, and you can only wear them 1 year, basically, because you're going to need another size.
Yeah, you're going to need another size. I mean, my kids blow through cleats like crazy, so it's every year you're getting new cleats. You know, so it's you know, but they spend a lot of time in them too. I mean, we have a good practice schedule. You know, so you know. They spend some time in them, but still, for those that need them, it's a good opportunity for them to get them. So
that's a great program. That's so smart to do for. And is there financial assistance for the registration fee? If
needed? Absolutely. Like I said, if you reach out to our website or look us up on Facebook, you know, you can contact us through there. More than happy to help you out with whatever type of assistance you might need.
And we were talking with Steve earlier about, you know, all these expenses that most people wouldn't even think about that a league has, you know, umpires, balls.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, we just got a notification for sale of baseballs at $6 a baseball, you know, and that's supposed to be a sale.
Yeah.
and at Deming, we lose, you know, a ton of baseballs over the fence.
Oh, yeah.
In the neighbor's yards, which, you know, a lot of them are great sending them back, but it's still, for those that don't come back, it's $6 a baseball, and you know, sometimes it could be two, three pitches that baseball's life was. So,
mm-hmm. So but I mean, $100, it doesn't seem like that much for, you know, and obviously for some families it is, but if you think about it, you're getting 14 games, a practice schedule.
Yeah, it's a great deal for the kids and for the parents. I mean, we are very fortunate with the fundraising that we do.
That was going to be my question. What kind of fundraising do you do?
Yeah, so we've done a few different fundraisers over the years. Music Bingo, so we have that event's going to be on June 12th. So there'll be more information coming out about that. We do a cash calendar. We do some Dine to Donates or some local businesses that help us out with that. We do a pitch hit and run fundraiser where kids come and they can compete in different games like that. So we've been very fortunate, and a lot of our sponsors, we have folks sponsor banners. So you'll see around all the parks, you'll see all these banners from local businesses. The local businesses are great as it comes to supporting that. So, you know, again, if you're interested in supporting that through a banner, touch base with us right through our website or through Facebook and our email address, and we'd be more than happy to have your banner out there.
And that's, a great opportunity to, you know, see some of the businesses that support. And, you know, I'm always more likely to support a business that supports something like this. So it's invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the people that reach out and support baseball in Pittsfield, it's great. And we can't appreciate, you know, we appreciate them a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it allows us to keep the entry into baseball low for kids. So it's great.
And it's exciting to see that, you know, Pittsfield, birthplace of baseball and all that fun stuff, is so talented in baseball. And it seems like in the last 10 years or so, it's really exploded. We've seen Pittsfield High get to a state championship game. We've seen Taconic win state championship games. How cool is that to see, you know, coming through the Little League program and where these kids get to?
Yeah, I mean it's great for Pittsfield. You know, it's something that we take pride in. I know the coaches that have been in our league, you know, really take pride in the fact that these kids came up through our program and that it kind of it all started with us, almost, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we try to maintain that in our lower development leagues, working with the Pittsfield Boys and Girls Club with their T-ball program, their coaches pitch program, and really do the work that gets kids excited to play baseball. And keeps them kind of learning and developing to the point where our local high schools can have the success that they've had. You know, our Babe Ruth leagues do a great job helping keep kids, developing those kids after they leave Babe Ruth. So it's a great little kind of feeder system we all have, We still do need more kids to be signing up for baseball. I mean, the numbers are shrinking, so it is a little bit tough for us. But, those that want to keep out playing, they do a really good job, at it. So,
why do you think the numbers are shrinking? in sports in general?
Well, I think some of it is, I mean, you see all the news about, you know, the schools, you know, lack of students and stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, population is one driver.
Sure.
You know, I think some of it, too, is just there's a level of baseball. It's a short season. There's a lot of baseball. It's individualized. You know, it's you up the bat. It's you on the mound. It's you in the field. It's slow moving. So if you make that mistake, it's you in the spotlight, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've become kind of that culture where it's like, oh, do I really want to fail?
Interesting.
You know, I think that might keep kids away from it. The slow movingness keeps it away. That's not a set time that, you know, it's 2 hours and we're done. You know, there's, you know, that no clock, you know, doesn't help. You know, I think some of it, too, is like you don't have – kids aren't out just throwing stuff anymore, too. So just that natural, hey, everybody can throw, doesn't happen. Like nobody's throwing snowballs. Nobody's throwing rocks, you know, into the water. Like there's just a whole lot of – kids aren't developing that baseball skills that you just used to happen with normal play. You know, they weren't hitting rocks and – doing stuff that you used to do as a kid type deal. So
that's a great point. You used to go down to the playground and just play pickup baseball. Or, I mean, we played when I was growing up, pretty much the day school got out to the day school got back in, we were playing 3 hours of wiffle ball a day at least.
Oh, yeah. The old wiffle ball games, you got ghost runners everywhere. I mean, you just pick up the next day with the next inning. And you don't see that as much anymore. You need more kids. You need kids to play it together. You know, it's easy to go around and shoot hoop, you know, down and just you, maybe one other friend, get a couple of you, play 2-on-2, whatever it is. You can't really do that as easily in baseball.
So that's a fair
I think
point.
That kind of hurts a little bit, but, you know, I played plenty of wiffle ball game with my brother growing up. It was just the two of us with a lot of ghost runners, right? So just keep everybody's up, right? But so I think that hurts it a little bit.
Interesting. Do you think you'll see a resurgence with the way Major League Baseball seems to be resurging? Becoming more of a TikTok type sport where the players are on TikTok and you're seeing short clips on TikTok and on Twitter and on social media. I feel like the league's done a really good job the past few years of bringing that back, and same with college baseball too.
Yeah, we're trying to embrace some of that stuff a little bit too. You know, we're trying to get more music to be played during in between innings type deal. You know, we haven't gotten to the point yet where we can do walk-up songs for kids, but we talked about those ideas. You know, we're trying to figure out the best way to meet everybody in the middle of, you know, what does it look like for what every kid wants to do. Like, you know, there's some kids that just want to come and have fun and play baseball, and there's other kids that really want to try to work and excel in that. So we're trying to adapt our models here to cater to both people. You know, the kids that just want to come and have that good time, allow you to do that, and the other ones that want more, to have more. So we're exploring options now, like having set league clinic days where if you really want that extra optional stuff, you can come and have that. All of our coaches in our entire league will be there to kind of work through different stations with you so that if you want more, you can get more. And if you just want maybe, you know, one or two practices a week and a couple games, you can have that. So we're hoping that stuff like that will help drive kids and parents, you know, because some of the times it's the parents' commitment. They're driving all over the place with however many different kids. That limits the amount of time commitment they have to make towards baseball as well. So we're trying to adapt with the new age of kids.
Yeah, it's, you know, it sort of hurts to see, you know, the numbers dwindle, particularly in Little League, but you make great points. So we got a few minutes left. Talk to us again. How do you register for Little League?
Yeah, so again, if you register for Little League, you can go to www.pittsfieldll.com. Or look us up on Facebook. You can find us there. That'll send you to the website as well. Or email us. Or if none of that works for you, show up on April 11th at Rip City, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll figure out how to get you in. We certainly won't, you know, turn up anybody that wants to play. So.
Yeah, find out all the details of that. And just go back to one more thing. It's you make a great point because, you know, I drive by Clapp Park, and there's always a ton of kids on that basketball court. But that baseball field, that beautiful baseball field right next to it, you rarely ever see anybody on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's sad. I mean, you just don't get that same level of support that kids see in baseball nowadays. But, you know, hopefully we can do our part to help, you know, keep it going and keep, again, we have really strong programs. So if you want to come be part of that, it'll be awesome. We'll be more than happy to take you.
Ben Noth from Pittsfield Little League, hook up with them and be a part of it, because it's a ton of fun, you know, lifelong memories and so much more. Ben, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, that's going to wrap us up today. Thank you so much for tuning on in. And Sean will be in the rest of the week. He's back tomorrow at 7:30 here on Morning Drive. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.